When stalking one's prey, it is best to take one's time. Say nothing, and as sure as eggs, he will become curious and emerge. Francis appeared at the kitchen door. "You still mad, Jean Louise?" he asked tentatively. "Nothing to speak of," I said. Francis came out on the catwalk. "You gonna take it back for Ansis?" But I was too quick on the draw. Francis shot back into the kitchen, so I retired to the steps. I could wait patiently. I had sat there perhaps 5 minutes when I heard Aunt Alexandra speak. "Where's Francis?" "He's out yonder in the kitchen. He knows he's not supposed to play in there." Francis came to the door and yelled, "Grandma, she's got me in here and she won't let me out." "What is all this, Jean Louise?" I looked up at Aunt Alexandra. "I haven't got him in there, Auntie. I ain't holding him." "Yes, she is," shouted Francis. "She won't let me out." "Have you all been fussing?" "Jean Louise got mad at me, Grandma," called Francis. "Francis, come out of there. Jean Louise, if I hear another word out of you, I'll tell your father. Did I hear you say hell a while ago?" "No'm." "I thought I did. I better not hear it again." Aunt Alexandra was a back porch listener. The moment she was out of sight, Francis came out, head up and grinning. "Don't you fool with me," he said. He jumped into the yard and kept his distance, kicking tufts of grass, turning around occasionally to smile at me. Jim appeared on the porch, looked at us, and went away. Francis climbed the mimosa tree, came down, put his hands in his pockets, and strolled around the yard. "Ha," he said. I asked him who he thought he was. "Uncle Jack?" Francis said he reckoned I got told for me to just sit there and leave him alone. "I ain't bothering you," I said. Francis looked at me carefully, concluded that I had been sufficiently subdued, and crooned softly, "Nigger lover." This time I split my knuckle to the bone on his front teeth. My left impaired, I sailed in with my right, but not for long. Uncle Jack pinned my arms to my sides and said, "Stand still." Aunt Alexandra ministered to Francis, wiping his tears away with her handkerchief, rubbing his hair, patting his cheek. Atticus, Jim, and Uncle Jimmy had come to the back porch when Francis started yelling. "Who started this?" said Uncle Jack. Francis and I pointed at each other. "Grandma," he bawled, "she called me a whore lady and jumped on me." "Is that true, Scout?" said Uncle Jack. "I reckon so." When Uncle Jack looked down at me, his features were like Aunt Alexandra's. "You know I told you you'd get in trouble if you used words like that. I told you, didn't I?" "Yes, sir, but..." "Well, you're in trouble now. Stay there." I was debating whether to stand there or run, and tarried in indecision a moment too long. I turned to flee, but Uncle Jack was quicker. I found myself suddenly looking at a tiny ant struggling with a breadcrumb in the grass. "I'll never speak to you again as long as I live. I hate you and despise you and hope you die tomorrow." A statement that seemed to encourage Uncle Jack more than anything. I ran to Atticus for comfort, but he said I had it coming and it was high time we went home. I climbed into the back seat of the car without saying goodbye to anyone, and at home I ran to my room and slammed the door. Jim tried to say something nice, but I wouldn't let him. When I surveyed the damage, there were only 7 or 8 red marks, and I was reflecting upon relativity when someone knocked on the door. I asked who it was. Uncle Jack answered. "Go away!" Uncle Jack said if I talked like that, he'd lick me again, so I was quiet. When he entered the room, I retreated to a corner and turned my back on him. "Scout," he said, "do you still hate me?" "Go on, please, sir." "Why, I didn't think you'd hold it against me," he said. "I'm disappointed in you. You had that coming and you know it.
Didn't either.
Honey, you can't go around calling people. You ain't fair, I said. You ain't fair.
Uncle Jack's eyebrows went up.
Not fair? How not?
You're real nice, Uncle Jack, and I reckon I love you even after what you did, but you don't understand children much.
Uncle Jack put his hands on his hips and looked down at me. And why do I not understand children, Miss Jean Louise?
Such conduct as yours required little understanding.
It was obstreperous, disorderly, and abusive.
You gonna give me a chance to tell you?
I don't mean to sass you. I'm just trying to tell you.
Uncle Jack sat down on the bed. His eyebrows came together, and he peered up at me from under them.
Proceed, he said.
I took a deep breath. Well, in the first place, you never stopped to give me a chance to tell you my side of it. You just lit right into me. When Jim and I fuss, Atticus doesn't ever just listen to Jim's side of it. He hears mine, too. And in the second place, you told me never to use words like that except in extreme provocation. And Francis provocated me enough to knock his block off.
Uncle Jack scratched his head. What was your side of it, Scout?
Francis called Atticus something, and I wasn't about to take it off him.
What did Francis call him?
A nigger lover. I ain't very sure what it means, but the way Francis said it, tell you one thing right now, Uncle Jack. I swear before God, if I'll sit there and let him say something about Atticus.
He called Atticus that?
Yes, sir, he did, and a lot more. Said Atticus would be the ruination of the family, and he let Jim and me run wild.
From the look on Uncle Jack's face, I thought I was in for it again. When he said, "We'll see about this," I knew Francis was in for it.
I've got a good mind to go out there tonight.
Please, sir, just let it go. Please.
I've no intention of letting it go, he said. Alexandra should know about this. The idea of...
Wait till I get my hands on that boy.
Uncle Jack, please promise me something. Please, sir. Promise you won't tell Atticus about this. He asked me one time not to let anything I heard about him make me mad, and I'd rather him think we were fighting about something else instead. Please promise.
But I don't like Francis getting away with something like that.
He didn't. You reckon you could tie up my hand? It's still bleeding some.
Of course I will, baby. I know of no hand I would be more delighted to tie up.
Will you come this way?
Uncle Jack gallantly bowed me to the bathroom. While he cleaned and bandaged my knuckles, he entertained me with a tale about a funny, nearsighted old gentleman who had a cat named Hodge, and who counted all the cracks in the sidewalk when he went to town.
There now, he said, you'll have a very unladylike scar on your wedding ring finger.
Thank you, sir.
Uncle Jack?
Ma'am?
What's a whore lady?
Uncle Jack plunged into another long tale about an old prime minister who sat in the House of Commons and blew feathers in the air and tried to keep them there when all about him men were losing their heads. I guess he was trying to answer my question, but he made no sense whatsoever.